Our gospel on this Easter morning is from the 24th chapter of Luke. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find a body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Well, then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe him. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of our Lord. Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, the risen Christ. Amen. So today we celebrate Easter. You know that one Sunday in the year where it's all supposed to just come together for us? You know, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the reality of promises that are given to us, the promises of hope and forgiveness and eternal life. But I've got to ask, which part of this has you just plain stuck? Now, I know we keep coming back year after year, and we celebrate Easter, but there's got to be a part of this that has you puzzled. Now, if it's the idea that all of this occurs, you know, the actual resurrection, without you having a hand in it, well, if that's what bothers you, then I wouldn't fret, because actually that's just the truth. It's the absolute truth. Because, as you know, humanity has always placed a great deal of weight on the things that we do, right? And for that reason, since we can't put God between our fingers and massage him like Play-Doh, it's really pretty easy to just dismiss God as some kind of a psychological fiction or a tale or something, instead of reality. So when it comes to Easter and the resurrection, we are easily surprised that in Easter, the God whom we thought that we had crucified and buried all of a sudden shows up again. And Mary went through the same problem, the same thing. In fact, she goes off complaining that her Lord is gone and she doesn't know where to find him. But you know, there's an interesting twist, an ironical twist that comes out of this story, because it's not about Mary's ability to find Jesus. This story is about the risen Christ finding her. And that means the risen Christ finding you and finding me. It's really important that we understand resurrection's about us. It is our sole foundation for our belief in eternal life, God's victory over death, and the hope that we seek each day, the hope that gets us up in the morning. But you know, it's not our design. So, our fingerprints on stuff is one thing. But there's still something else that adds discomfort over Easter. And, you know, maybe it's more like it wasn't just that Jesus was raised from the dead. Maybe it's also that he returned to us. I mean, God slipped that one through right under our noses. But before the part of you that demands human fingerprints all over something before it can be true, before that part of you becomes alive, just note a couple of things. First, this story really, it's got God's fingerprints all over it. I mean, the scriptures, first of all, don't report sightings. Have you ever noticed that? When you read the scripture of the resurrection, there isn't a sighting of Jesus. They describe Jesus' appearances. Okay? There's a difference between a sighting and appearance. A sighting is something that you see, you know, more like something that you can stick your fingerprints on. An appearance is the act of coming into sight. Now, this emphasis on appearances is very unlike us and makes us kind of uncomfortable because it's seeing that is believing, right? It's not appearances that is believing. In fact, the Gospels of our Bible present the resurrection as a series of unexpected, unexplainable appearances in which the crucified Jesus appears to his disciples as the resurrected Christ. There were no sightings. So Easter is not something that was dreamed up in a room that was filled full of cigar-smoking theologians. Easter is absolutely the result of a God who comes to us and appears to us out of God's loving determination to be with us. But it's on God's terms. And also consider this. Jesus was not only raised, but when he returned, when he came back, he appeared to all the wrong people. What's with that? I mean, that is so absolutely not making sense. How odd is it? How odd is it that the risen Christ would spend his first day resurrected in a sorry dump like Galilee? Sorry, Galilee is not a vacation spot. Have you ever wondered, why didn't Christ go running to the governor's mansion and jump in front of Pontius Pilate and say, "Hi, I'm back"? He didn't do it. Why didn't he do that with King Herod? The same thing, right in his face. No. Jesus was raised and appeared first to powerless, marginalized Mary, Peter, and Thomas, the very ones who betrayed and disappointed him in the first place, and the same losers that he spent his last meal with. And that brings me back to this wonderment of why so many people come to Easter service to celebrate the risen Christ, when they still have questions about how all this came to be without human involvement. You know, none of our fingerprints, because we wouldn't have done it this way. Well, I think there's a couple reasons why we keep coming back. First, because when it comes right down to it, we know that on this day, death and evil have been defeated by a God who was absolutely determined not to let evil and death have the last word. And we know that this is way beyond anything that we're capable of doing. Second reason we come back is because many, if not all of us, have this sense. We've got a feeling that the very thing that happened among Jesus' first disciples, you know, the women and the men to whom Jesus first appeared, well, that feeling has also happened amongst us. Amongst us, each of us, personally. You know, belief in the resurrection, in what the resurrection means, can come from reading and hearing the gospel accounts of Jesus' appearances. But very few people will continue to believe in Jesus' resurrection if all they have is the gospel writings. It takes more than that. More likely than not, you are here celebrating Easter, believing in the triumph of God in the resurrection, because in some way or another, Christ has shown up to you. It's got a personal feel to it. In a certain inexplicable way, you know, often subtle, an undeniable way. But Christ has appeared to you. And you know it wasn't a brief sighting. It wasn't a shadowy glimpse from the corner of your eye. You just know it was an appearance that was a part of you in some special way. But you know, regardless of how subtle or significant Christ's appearance was to you, there is one thing for sure, one thing very clear. It happened without you or me doing anything. We did nothing. Christ just simply appeared. And that's all it takes to draw us together today on this glorious day, on this Sunday of Sundays, for we come simply to respond to Christ's appearances to us, to celebrate his presence among us, and to say in our own way, thanks for doing it your way. And thanks for not leaving at all. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, help us to see and accept the ways in which you appear in our lives. And help us to rejoice on this day with joyous hearts and let go of our worries and our fears. For on this day, we're reminded that it is you who is seeking us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.